With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah chapter 19, a very remarkable passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up. And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brooks shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the waters shall languish. Moreover, they that work in fine flax, and they that weave networks, shall be confounded. And they shall be broken in the purposes thereof, all that make sluices and ponds for fish. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt which is the head, or which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Every one that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day there shall be, or shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord? And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt. He shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord. And he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian shall come into Egypt. And the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria. Even a blessing in the midst of the land whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I told you it was remarkable. So the first section, rather lengthy, verses 1 through 17, speaks of the Lord's destruction of Egypt and how Egypt will be cast down. Now, let's remember where we are in the prophecy of Isaiah. We are in the prophecy concerning the nations. We have heard about Babylon at the beginning, remember? And it seemed that there was no remedy for Babylon, and that was the cause of us saying that perhaps Babylon is being considered here in a very prophetic sense as the enemy of enemies of the people of God. And certainly we see that in the book of Revelation. But then we went on to talk about some other nations, those that were allied against Israel, the northern kingdom and Syria, right? But let's also remember what is happening in the midst of Isaiah's day. Who has the Lord stirred up to conquer all the lands? Not Babylon. It's too early for that. We're about 100 years or 110 or so years before Babylon is stirred up with that kind of a power. No, today it's the Assyrians. And the Assyrians are, can I say, just pretty much having their way over the ancient world. They are traversing to and fro. They are fierce, and none can stand in their face, including mighty Egypt. During the days of the Assyrian conquest, they crossed down that Sinai Peninsula, and they ended up in Egypt and in Ethiopia and in Sabaea. They came from the east and they came very far. And so notice that everything that Egypt trusts in, everything in which she finds her confidence, will not avail in the day of the Lord's destruction. Speaking, I think, nearly of the Assyrian destruction of Egypt. So the river Nile will not offer her any protection. Remember that the river Nile not only was that lifeblood of Egypt, but it was also an entity that they worshipped. They had a god of the river. And so Moses, when he turned the Nile River to blood, what was the Lord saying? Where are your gods now? Right? They had a sun god. There was darkness. Right? Over and again, they had a god of their that they had in their cattle. Right? Apis was his name. And do you remember what happened to their cattle? They had a god that they worshipped in their crops. What happened to their crops? Over and again in those 10 plagues, the Lord struck against every petty deity of Egypt. But the mightiest one of them all, they thought, was indeed their river. But notice what the Lord says, the river will offer them no relief. What about our wise men? Won't they offer us some relief? Won't they give us good counsel? No, the Lord has sent a spirit of confusion to them. What's going to happen then to Egypt? What's going to happen? Notice that all of her merchandise, all of her mercantile is also brought to nothing. All of that which centered around the rivers, those that were in the fishing industry, those that were in the textile industry, those that were in the paper industry, those that were in the boating industry, all of them come to nothing. The Lord is going to destroy them, not only militarily, He's going to destroy them economically. Everything in which they trust, the Lord is going to bring to the ground when the Assyrian comes. He's going to set a fierce and a cruel king, a cruel Lord over them. Well, that's exactly the reputation that the Assyrians had. And when Isaiah writes this, and when the people of God receive it, they know what he's talking about. Assyria has already taken the northern kingdom, or soon to take the northern kingdom. So, what's going to happen to Egypt then? This is verses 1 through 18. She's going to be destroyed. Now, will it be to her full and final destruction? Will Egypt become a place of salt pits and burning? And the answer to the question is no. No, she will not. And this is the most remarkable portion of this passage, because beginning in verse 18, the Lord speaks in conciliatory ways to Egypt. He begins to speak to them in what we might even call gracious speech. She has been destroyed by the Lord. The Lord has struck her, but He will also heal her. And so now the prophet, looking far in the future toward the days of Messiah, still using prominent present speech, speaks about those days when those ancient and current enemies of the people of Judah will indeed call upon the name of the Lord. Now, don't mistake in the end of this passage of hearing the word Israel for all of Israel, the north and the south. No, the Lord has drawn together three that have a notorious reputation of being the enemies of the people of God: the northern kingdom, Israel, the Assyrians, and the Egyptians. And notice what's going to happen. There's going to be a highway from Egypt to Assyria and Assyria to Egypt. That is, that those who are currently at odds will be brought to peace. A highway, understand, a trade route, a place of commerce, a place of communication, a place of mutual help. And Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria. And so the Lord, and I believe that Isaiah is really projecting ahead to the days of Messiah, although it is not explicit, it's implicit in the text, that in the days of Messiah, His salvation will extend to the ends of the earth, even, ready, to the ancient enemy of God, to the current enemy of God, of God's people, to those who ought to have been the friends of God's people but were not in the northern kingdom. They will all be drawn together, and the Lord will say about them, the Lord of hosts will bless, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance." Such will be the salvation of our God. And really, in the minds of Isaiah's hearers, that is a universal proclamation of salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 19. Let's stand.